hope is that many alcoholic men and women present in this room tonight, desperately in need, will hear our speaker tonight, and we believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that we will all be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. Tonight, we've got Don returning. He told the story here a little over a year ago. He's had some life issues. The program has brought him back to tell the story again. He wants to share what he's learned this year, and I'm looking forward to it. I really do appreciate you being here, Don. Please welcome Don.
I am an alcoholic. Welcome everyone here tonight. Last time I was up here, I had about half of the audience here. So I'm happy tonight to see everybody. One thing I wanted to come up here tonight. Cancer. I have cancer, and right now I'm battling it. And sometimes not really battling it, just going to see the doctors, chemotherapy, which isn't as harsh as it could have been. And next week I'm going to Houston. I'm going to go to a cancer center there that's supposedly the best in the world. So for me, I wanted to come up here tonight so I have some kind of a legacy to know that I was here. And selfish it may seem that way, but it's not really, because all these signs in here are for people who have passed away from this illness, cancer. But I'm going to live. I'm planning on doing better and just getting well. And fortunately, that one thing I got. I'm not going to really talk about the drunk-a-lot part very much. Most people end up in here because life isn't that great. Fortunately, I was never arrested. I don't know how. I should have been 100 times over. And before I came into AA, my mother caught me, smoking. Pot in the house, and here I am working a job, 60 hours. A week, and I couldn't afford to live outside of, house, and she found me. Passed out, and gave me a matter of minutes to go get help, to call up somebody and ask them to help me. And she was mad. I've never seen her so mad. But for the first time, she didn't yell. I lived in a household where yelling was a commonplace. Now, not so much. I don't like living in that manner. But I called up a place that I used to know and told them I'm an addict at that time. And they said, good, just come over. And so I, went there. And went there for, months, several months. And I was the only one in there whose, urine was, crystal clean. The rest of the people in there were having a hard time. More or less, they couldn't get honest with what they had. And it was difficult to listen to this because they were talking about their, washers were gone, carriage, the baby's carriage was sold, the iron, they were selling all kinds of stupid, stuff just to acquire. And it was hard on me because I was trying to do what I was, you know, there to do. Fortunately, you know, a friend of mine who I gave a ride in there, and see here, you know, James gave up the, you know, see here, what you call it here, drugs, but he couldn't lick alcohol. And he went in just to open house. Was open house is the name of the place back home. Charlotte, that's where I was originally out of. And I saw James come out of there about a, you know, a month and a half. And James had changed his looks, mannerisms, speech. He really looked at ease. And I asked James, and I've said this in meetings many times, I said, James, what happened to you? And James told me he worked these things here, what you call it here, these what you call it here, steps. And I said, wow. And I said, I think I would like to do this. And he said, great. So I walked out the door, and he was talking to the lady who was helping us here, me also, who was a wonderful woman. I walked outside, just sweating. I was white. I turned white. And I walked back inside the room, and I said, why in the hell did I happen to say this? And the lady said, honey, I really don't know why, but really hold on to that. So I, you know, see here, did. And then that evening, James took me to a, you know, see here, meeting, and I picked up my, you know, one and only, see here, white chip. And it was a beautiful evening, too, at a place, you know, see here, you know, tiki torches were lit. And so walking up there was kind of nice, and see here, you know. You know, everything was nice at night, clapping. James left just that see here. Next day, I've never, you know, seen him since then, but I've heard he's doing well. That's one thing. A counselor who's back as a, you know, counselor. For me, I quit everything I was up to. Working, I went to, you know, see here, meetings most of the day. And I gave my, you know, I turned my, you know, life over just to meetings. And things in me changed. It was like a, you know, a whirlwind. I ended up going to the, you know, treatment, you know, a center early. Most people want to, you know, fight it. I decided I wanted to go in early. Number one, I didn't really have a, you know, seizure choice. I decided to give my, you know, seizure card just to an African American guy who was helping me out. You know, I'm a sponsor. He was my guy. My sponsor, my, you know, mother just went ballistic. Just went absolutely. You're like going to give your, card to this guy? I don't even know him. Blah, blah, blah. I said, Mom, this guy's a good man. And she went on, and I left. And I went there and showed up early, and I said, I've got no, you know, where else to go. Here I am, you know, sober, going here to meetings, but yet I didn't have any, you know, where else to go. So I went in there early. They actually sent, they just sent just somebody out a, you know, day early. And I like got in there, and I had to wait a little bit more, a couple hours more. But they helped me out of the laundry I was doing at home was wet and starting to really smell. And the people inside there did all of it here for me. And when I was in there, the good, you know, thing about it was, number one, it was a long time. It was about a, you know, a month and a half. Nowadays, they happen to rush people, but at that, there, it was about a, you know, see here, you know, pardon me here, 42 see here, days. Also, they did what was hanging on the walls here. You know, see here. Step work. And that was important. And for those of y'all who are, see, if you're new and are undergoing or going in some halfway houses or a treatment center or whatever, the time I used in there was important. And there I learned how to do all the work in here. First step, I want to talk about these more. Most people talk about their drunk log, what happened in high school and college and whatever. For me, it's important to tell what happened to me. How did I happen here to change? First step, I wrote out the history of my alcohol, using alcohol. And that was a thing for me because I didn't think I was an alcoholic. But after I got done, writing down just the history of it, I definitely was. At the moment, I was, just going over it, reading. A guy who I helped about a month and a half, earlier, who, swore to God that if he didn't make it in there, he would go out and kill himself. And, David, when he was in there, was the crown jewel kind of a guy. Did all the work, everybody happened here just to love the guy. Well, I saw him to walk out of there, and in the, parking lot, this is a guy who's in there for, a month and a half, who, this time earlier was swearing that he was going here to die. His, mother had, brought him a, just a pint of liquor. And I saw him, take it and knock it over. And, at that moment in time, I realized that I am an alcoholic. And David didn't get any, better. He got, tossed out of the halfway, house here as well. Step two with God, my father died when I was 15, and he died on a holiday, a Jewish holiday. And a synagogue, I had to go to that yearly and say mourners that cottage it's called over him. And the only thing that kept me really going, and I really didn't like it, but when I came in here and I saw the God of my understanding, or found this higher entity, I wasn't too eager about it. But I later came to accept it, and I was no longer angry about about God, because why I decided to come in AA and do the things I never have gotten an answer why. All I know is I just said okay. Third step in was one that I just decided to trust the people who I had known just before me, and I said okay. And while I was in there, everybody in there was fighting tooth and nail. They didn't want to do these things. They thought it was a bunch of crap. And this is a treatment, a place where if we looked outside at people and, waved to them, we would get tossed out of the place. We were not allowed to say anything to people outside, because it was all about us. It was all about us and me. And they wanted me to not to worry about what was going on outside. And that's why I happened just to love the place. And, third step just came, naturally. For me personally, all these, first steps, they either are or else they're not. And just for me, I said, okay. And, you know, a four step, when I began it 4 weeks in there, I've been getting hell from everybody inside. I was a major league asshole. I was, you know, cocky because I've been AA, you know, meetings and hadn't used. And I walk in there knowing all the literature, the steps and everything. In a month and a half, I was pretty, really good. And they didn't like that too much. And I was a real major, you know, league asshole. And when I, you know, just began to do all the work in here, the step work, which I had to, you know, just fight to get around. At first, I just wanted a room with a light bulb and something there to, just to write on. And they gave me the room in the place that was the nicest room. It was the office in there. Wood tables, walls, leather all over the place, chairs. And I only asked to have a little room, a closet. Give me a closet with a light. Smoking was the reason, you know, why I was the only one in there who didn't do it. And I wanted a place that I didn't have to sit there and, you know, just to linger in it. And they called me. I wanted to, you know, to run the place and all this. And then this one guy, a skinny, a tall guy from a little, town, said, why don't we, give him our office? And I said, no, I don't really want this. And he said, I think it's all right to give it to me. So I got the nicest area there in the place. And people began to, just to come in and sit. And the more I began here, the more I came in here just to write, I started just to write, things down. The more I began just to see who and what I am. And we had a family, what they call a group, a family group. Friday afternoons, and that was when if somebody had beef about you, then this would be a place with everybody in there, the counselors and everybody else, to tell you what a schmuck and what you were. And when I was in there first, I was hammered by everybody. I was the group's asshole, and I was, absolutely was. And after I began to, to do the step, here came a time here for everybody to, me again. Nobody said anything to me. Not one word bad about me. And the head of the, place came up to me and said, something's just different about you. And he asked me, what is it? And I said, I began to do the step. Four step. And seeing who and what I am. And he said, well, whatever you're doing, you just keep writing. And I said, okay. And I did 3 pages. For most people just write a couple of pages, and I really wrote it out. And and for me, the more I, just wrote, the more I knew the kind of guy, what I was, what happened, who I hurt. But the, best thing that I also, wrote down there was basically how I can do it over again. And that was perfect for me, because I needed to have that. And the gentleman, I had a gentleman, just came in there to hear my, fifth step. And, Jimmy Helms was his name. He was an older man. Polio, he had that when he was a child. Jimmy rode the trains. He was a bump. He was a wino. a jazz player, and he would hop around the, you know, see here, U.S., and that's what he did. But he wanted to hear mine, and I said, okay, Jimmy, just show up, and we'll do this. Jimmy came there, and we, you know, all sat down, and it's 2.5 hours, and Jimmy gets up. He just walks up and says, he just says, I like half the lead. And I said, but Jimmy, I got half of this, I got half of this to go. And he says, well, that's okay. I'm going to, show up here again and we'll, finish it out. He said, I just wasn't, able to, be here all this time because everybody here has a simple one. He said, but yours, you wrote it out. So I said, okay, Jimmy. And Jimmy, leaves, and every, one around me is angry that this guy just takes off in the middle of the step. And I said, no, Jimmy's a nice guy, and Jimmy will show up again, and which he did. And he told me the natures, the exact natures of where I was, wrong. And the steps, the rest of the steps, I went ahead and I went ahead and all those other steps here. And the men's step, I had a gentleman here about me. John's since been gone now 6 years, but he made sure that I could make all these amends and what were wise amends here to actually make. And when I began to do all the amends work, it was when I started to really change again. It was I would go up to people I thought I'd never make an amends to, and did it. And courage, I had to show a lot of courage. Since then, when I moved down here, Napa was the place I like to see here. Made it to. I came here. And Isla, is this your anniversary today? What's your birthday? Belly, happy birthday to you. Isla was here just when I see here. Moved down here. And she's important to me, really. She's a great lady. This room was important here to me because it had old-timers in here. Not only did it have just the old-timers in here, it had a lot of old-timers in here. And I made an effort here to, show up early. Coffee, just to make coffee, wash out ashtrays. That's when we had ashtrays here. And this room was a fog bank. We'd have a fan going on over here, just blowing all the other air over here. And but we had a good time. Jokes, I'm not good at telling jokes because I haven't done it a long time, so I don't have any mastery of jokes to say. I don't have any, salesman jokes or any of that crap. But we had a good time in here. And if people are going to meeting and nobody's laughing, that sucks. That absolutely sucks. And these people on the wall, Roland Bryce kept me from going here to jail because the guy had taken just the money I had, the last hundreds of dollars that I had, and because Michael had gone out, I was going to shoot him, and a shotgun. I put it in his mouth earlier on in the day, and told him, "This is if you're going to go out again, go ahead and kill and do it now." That's how I used to be. I wasn't so simple and loving, I came here and made a meeting in the back. It was this was at the 5 year, 40 5, and, you know, I told the group what happened. And see here. Roland was the kind of guy where sometimes he wasn't so nice to people, but if he saw you, you know, trying and doing the work in here, he was kind. He was kinder, and he says, come here, and I'm going to, you know what, tell you something. Roland told me something, and he ended up saying, I don't want you to go and, shoot the guy, just have him arrested. So I said, okay, and I had, and I, so I, just so I like had him arrested, and I like got all the money back. And that taught me something. It taught me how to live, differently. Now, I wasn't really a violent kind of guy, you know. The family I was raised in liked to yell and scream and argue. And when I came in here, I was, just told that I had to end that. I had to stop that. So I had to work on that really hard. But it was important, because that's not the way I wanted to live anymore. And this is about changing. So, I actually had to, work. I went back to work then. I didn't know what I wanted to do, really, but I went back to work here in the, restaurant business, a chef. I was, a chef, I went back to work there, and I got out of that in 1996, and see here, thank you, God, because it was a place where you had to be, perfect all the time. But around here, the people who I met were important to me, and especially the people who had been here for a long, let's see here, who had been here for, a long time. Stan, who this little, a podium is named after, Parks, was a funny guy. And God to him was an entity called, Sky, Chief, which was a helicopter, a pilot in the 50s. It was a TV show that lasted a couple of years, but that was his God. That was his higher power. And, Stan went through hell in business-wise, and personally, his wife was great. But, business-wise, he really wasn't that good in business. But he was good in here, and that's what was important. It was good to know that people were good in here, and that's what I needed to see. And that's who he was. The other people who were important to me, Hoyt Allison, who was the, on Napa, he led this place a couple times. Joe, which was here, Lewis, and there were a lot of other people here, all of them died early, just from cancer. And they had a remarkable, impact to me. What was good was I began to learn people and to, trust. And trust is something you don't hear a lot here in meetings. When's the last time you heard about trust? Almost never. And it's important when I walked in here, just like a lot of you guys. How many people are in halfway houses right now, or secondary residences in here? That's a lot. See, I was just like us here, you guys. I too went to a halfway house here in Atlanta, which really sucked. And it really sucked a lot. And but I began to, I had a guy helping me out here early. I'm a sponsor. Then I called and used. I became a member here that none of my other guys did. And, all of my reports are telling me I was doing this wrong. I was doing the program wrong. They didn't know anything about a program. And most of those people are now gone. Not only are they gone, but most of them are actually, dead. So they didn't have a, second chance. And that's what I saw a lot. And it didn't bother me so much, but I learned that I was lucky. Why things worked out for me and why it came still to me is again a mystery. But I did the work. People told me what to do, and I really said okay. And I would, you know, sit with the old timers under here, you know, all lunchtime. And I would sit there and listen. Let's see here. Bill Roop, Bob Carver, just to name a few. And these are guys who knew AA backwards and, let's see here, forwards. And there were about, you know, let's see here, a bunch of these guys. How many of them here? 20 guys. I would, you know, I was just able to, sit down just with him and listen. And that was a great experience. And I always had this one guy would ask me, just where am I at in AA, the program? What am I, working on? And I would tell him, just shut up. It's just none of your business. And it really wasn't. But for the rest of these guys, being a part of their, being a part of them for me was just a privilege. So those of you who are in here who are new, come to the center of the room, like I did. Instead of sitting in the back, come in here and, you know, BSing. And I was given a chance to learn. And that was really important. The other ones up here, steps. One thing I want to say is I quit hating, God. That was probably one of the most important things. Before I hated everything about God. But then I learned not to hate, God anymore. And praying. Today I don't say a lot of the prayers as such. I talk to God more than I say the formal prayers. Because one day I said it, all these formal prayers, when I lost the car, girlfriend who I was living with at the time had a kid who was a mess. And I said all of these, I just said all of them, just the prayers, all of the AA prayers. So I ended up getting hit just by a car outside over here. Where is it here? Buford Highway at the Wendy's. And I got pretty messed up. It took me a year and a half here just to, get back. I was beaten up pretty bad. And since I've been in AA, I've been hit by an automobile. I've had now 40, nine operations since 91. And when I, first one, I asked people, how do you handle this thing? And they told me all this crazy stuff, and I ended up in the corner of the room in the back there crying my eyes out, going, I am really screwed. And since then, I've had open heart a couple times, which isn't fun. In which the illness, in which I have. I've trusted God. And I'm always, nervous prior, but I'm not frightened. I go in and do it. And one thing about here is I've learned how to adapt. I've learned how to calm things, but never ever alone. One thing, if you have a God of just your own understanding, then I was told earlier on that I just wasn't alone. That's pretty good. Because I had needed that. And like I said, when I came into AA, I knew nothing about God. I still don't know anything about God. I just pray to something. And that something works. In the back of the, see here. And the, where is it here? Big book. What is it? Appendix number. Let's see here. What was it here? 2. I read that, and here I was, oh, high and mighty me. And it said that, just for me judging, who am I here really? Who am I here just to, you know, see here, judge God? That took me down a peg or two. And I like that. Tim, I think I mentioned it to, you know, Tim, just to see here, one day, to see your words here, Knott's Landing, where Tim first came in. And he told me his guy hasn't showed him that yet, his sponsor. So I, you know, I showed it to him. And it's important just to read that, because me as an alcoholic, big time ego, I needed something there to knock it, you know, just to knock it just down a notch. Also, I'm going to end this right here. It's kind of like out of place here, but I want to say the guy who helped this, you know, see here, room to make it what is here today. If you ever just look up, there was a gentleman who raised a $1 million to get this, you know, a place, you know, built. The gentleman's name is A. His name was A. B. Paget, and I got a chance to meet him. Couple of occasions. AB was not an alcoholic. His, you know, wife was, and he was the nicest guy you're going to meet. And he raised money. For alcoholics, when nobody would have, you know, thought about doing it. But this guy was known about in this area here, and he was able here just to do that. So we're able to sit here, and I'm able here to come in here, and, you know, and really, you know, share some of the history that I have. Because one guy, his wife wanted a better, you know, nicer area here to, you know, just to have a meeting. And he was a sweet man, and he died a couple years ago, I think, you know, 4 years ago now. But he was a kind-hearted soul. He would just come in here, just to meetings, just to sit down and listen, and just to see everybody who he helped. And he wouldn't really say that, he told it, but he just told it to me. So here's a guy who wasn't an alcoholic, who marveled at sitting in an AA, marveled sitting in an AA, meeting. But anyway, just tonight I wanted to talk about less of what I used to be like and more of just what happened to me. And I hope it was somewhat a semblance all right. You know, I'm a stutterer, I am one, so that's the reason why I'm pausing and saying a couple of things here. But for those of y'all who are, you know, see here, new in here, I wouldn't be here because if I didn't do anything, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't have the years that I have. And believe me, the years that I have are the grace of God, because in all likelihood, I should be dead by now. With all the crap that I've had to endure. Hospitalizations, infections, all kinds of stuff. But still, I go to a lot of meetings. I don't ever tell somebody, well, I make, you know, the 4 AA, you know, meetings a week or something like that. When I, you know, moved in here, down here, nobody in here, the old timers were here daily, every day. We never said how many meetings we were at a week. Because every, you know, everybody was here all the time, so it was a question. We had never had to ask. And that for me just was important. So if you guys, those of you who are new, take the time to do the work in here. Make the use of your time. Because if anything, you're, you know, just fortunate enough to, at this day, one day at a time, to say, I don't want to use alcohol today. And but that is a moment to really take inside and realize, oh, God, you're here. And I came here just to do the work because of an African-American guy, James Terry, who came and showed me a better way of life. And, you know, this is a guy whose wife, I gave him a ride home that day. His wife was so mad at him, she wouldn't even let him back in the house, even though he had been in the treatment center for a month and a half. So, somebody cared about me. And I can tell you that the people, you know, so you're, will care about you. So that's all. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Doug. Always courageous. Hey, the seventh tradition, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, and we hope we are. Your generosity helps us buy the supplies and takes care of some of the expenses involved in recording our speakers. And we now have on NavaClub.org almost 90 speakers online where you can go and hear some of the best experience, strength and hope, or at least the best audio right here that was reported in this room. So it's been some great people like Don, like Isla, some of the other folks here, and we've got more coming down the pipe. Hey, thanks. Now, I haven't asked anybody to give out a chips, but I was thinking that Owen might like to come up and do that. Right back here.
My name's Owen Jones. I'm grateful to be an alcoholic and grateful to be sober and here tonight. Thank you, Don. That was very inspiring for me. Appreciate it. We have a chip system to mark our progress in sobriety. If you like what you've heard tonight and you want to give our way of life a try, come on up and we will offer you a white chip. Anybody want to pick up a white chip tonight?
For a white chip? Anybody got 30 days? All right. Anybody else for 30? Anybody got 90 days? Does anybody have 6 months? Anybody have 9 months? Any birthdays we do not know about? Oh, right.
Lisa, alcoholic. This is 4 years. I did it by having a sponsor and trying to stay in the middle of the program, and I worked the steps. I just moved to Athens to go to school, and I got sober here in Atlanta and at NABA, and so it was kind of hard to, you know, stay in the middle once I moved, but it's definitely been worth it, so I'm really thankful to be sober. Thanks.
I see somebody else that's got a year or more.
I will get you a blue chip, but here's two yellows you can hold on to. I'm going to get the blue.
Do I got to sleep?
Yes.
I'm here for all the alcoholics. Kind of nervous. I just thank God for my sobriety and It's been tough, so.
How many?
How many what? Just one. Yes. Thank you.
Keep coming back. Anybody else? Anybody want to take another shot at a white show?
Let's thank God and give some more.
Awesome. Love those chips going out. Okay, it's time for AA-related announcements. I know we got a New Year's dance coming up, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, sure we do.
Yeah, it'll be in this room after the... Yeah, there'll be an 8 o'clock meeting in here, and then there'll be the dance, and...
Actually, Sue's at 9:30.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, but people start really hang out, come to the 8 o'clock meeting if you like, and stick around. Yeah. And anything else? If we could have some volunteers help us clean up, really would appreciate it. I'd like to get out of here at a good hour. Everybody needs to be careful getting home tonight. The weather is still a big factor. The roads appear dry, but please be careful getting home or finding your way back. And I'd like to remind everybody that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Ever remind us to place principles before personalities. And for those who will, please join us in the Lord's Prayer.